Okay, so everybody had a good Christmas? Yeah, good, good. So back in 2017, Netflix came out with a new series. It was called 13 Reasons Why. And it's based on a book by Jay Asher that tells the story of a high school girl named Hannah Baker who encounters a whole lot of just a sort of a toxic culture in her high school of gossip and backbiting and betrayal. And she becomes so despairing and so feeling so alienated that eventually she actually takes her own life. Now, after her death, her friend, one of her friends, Clay, discovers a box on his porch. And in that box are 7 cassette tapes. And the cassette tapes are Hannah's voice describing 13 different events, 13 reasons why that led up to her decision to take her own life. 13 events that happened, and she names 13 individuals who she felt were most responsible for that. And on the tapes, each person is supposed to listen to all the tapes, and at the end, they're told to whom they should give those tapes next. So that by the end of this round of tapes, all the people that Hannah feels is most responsible for her death have heard the story. Now, this series has been acclaimed as a real wake-up call, number one, to people about the kind of toxic culture and the kind of struggles that young people go through these days, which we may not all be aware of. It's also been criticized because in the aftermath, or right after that series was introduced, there were a number of copycat suicides. People who saw that and thought that looked like a pretty good idea. And then, of course, also it was criticized because there's a sort of a question about whether or not it's really right to be profiting, to be doing a show and kind of making money off that kind of tragedy. But whatever you think about the show, or maybe you haven't ever seen it or read the book, you might want to. But whatever you think about the show, I think the very existence of the show and the show itself, it raises questions. That as Christians, I think it's not a bad idea to have a couple of responses to. I mean, think about it. If there are 13 reasons why, or even one reason why, a young person, a person just at the beginning of their lives, feels so despairing that they believe they want to end that life, then I think that's a question that raises questions that we should answer. If there are 13 reasons or even one reason why a young person would resonate with that character to such a degree that they would want to imitate her actions, I think that raises some questions for us. And personally, I think if there are 13 people or one person who feels comfortable profiting from that kind of pain, I think it raises some questions about our culture. So for the next 13 weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the questions that come up out of that series and other issues. But then also address them, look at them from the perspective of, well, what are 13 reasons? And I think it's really true in light of all of that. There are 13 at least reasons why we really need the church today, why we really need Scripture today, why we really need Jesus today. Amen? Kind of see where I'm going? As we look at these questions, it becomes, you know, important for us to remember that God, and today this is what we'll look at, that God has created an order to the cosmos, to the way things work. God has created an order. And that order is true and it's right and it's life-affirming. And at least one response to the kind of alienation that people feel, I think, especially young people, is that order that we're given to understand by God. And that we see here in this Psalm 8. The order is really clear. begins this way. It says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Now, name, when we read these things, name, when they're talking about name, it usually refers to power and influence. So what this is saying is, "Lord, O Lord, how majestic, how splendid, how out of hand, just how amazing is everything you've made. Your name is just powerful, and your influence is powerful in all the earth, in all of creation." It says, "You have set your glory above the heavens." And we all know this. There's got to be times when you've sat out at the desert. That's where I do it. But you can do it almost anywhere. Where you look up in the heavens and for a minute, you're really struck by the fact that that is an amazing place out there. Space is an amazing place. You have set your glory, those things that you've created, in the heavens. But that's not all. It goes on. It's not only in the biggest things, it's in the little things. From the lips of children and infants, the most powerful things. God set his glory in the power of the universe, but also his glory is evident in the least powerful thing, children and infants. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. They speak out about God's magnificence. Because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. And what that means is, even this little thing, a little powerless thing, like a child, is so magnificent that those people who deny God or who are not sure about if God really exists, those people, even they, have to take pause and think, how could this be? How could this thing, how could this have come about? The magnificence of God silences, or at least gives pause to those who deny the power of God or wonder of the power of God. But even more than that, even though all of this great stuff and we see God's power everywhere, there's a greater thing. And that is this, that as great as the creation is, God has ordered you and me to be rulers over it. You have made him, people, ruler over the works of your hand. You have put everything under his feet. All flocks and herds and beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish in the sea, and all that swim in the paths of the seas. And that's all they knew about in those days. We have dominion. We have exercised dominion over the planets themselves, those places where human beings have walked, or the satellites which we've sent out into space that communicate back with us. We are given dominion over all of this great creation. And that is really remarkable when you think about it this way. Almost everything in creation, you know, we're pretty frail people. Almost everything in creation can bring us down. Have you ever noticed that? From a rock to a germ to like a mud puddle. If you get hit by a rock and you fall face down in it, you're done. Almost everything out there is dangerous to us. But we alone have been made by God with the physical and the mental ability, with the imagination, with the foresight to adapt to almost any circumstance that's around us. In fact, any circumstance that's around us, and bend nature to our will. God is really into people in this order. He has made his creation. He has made nature. But he has made us next over creation. And he says, "You have made him," mankind, "a little lower than the heavenly beings," just a little lower than the angels, "and crowned him with glory and with honor." Isn't that nice? In this order that God has created, there's him, there's God, there are people, and then under the people is all of creation. We are not made to be subject to nature, but to subdue nature. And of course, to be good stewards of nature. However, people have a crazy tendency to kind of mess around with the order, to either put themselves in the place of God or to put themselves under, subject to, nature. And whenever people do that, put themselves up above and put themselves in the place of God or put themselves underneath, subject to nature, people suffer. People suffer. So the order is all messed up. I was in Mexico City over the past week. My family and I went to Mexico City. And one place that we, the food's great, by the way. Have you ever been, anybody been down there and had just, yeah, oh, come on. I wish I could take y'all, but no. But one of the places that we visited was the pyramids of the Teotihuacan people. It's an ancient people that used to occupy that area that's now Mexico City. And they built these enormous pyramids. They're actually ziggurats. You climb steps to get to the top. And it was an advanced civilization. You can tell because of the cities that they built around these pyramids, these homes that they built, these apartment complexes, mostly for the priests and for the upper classes, but all built around this complex of pyramids. But the pyramids themselves really tell a disturbing story of what happens when you start messing around with the order, because those pyramids were there for the worship of the sun. They believed that the sun was the God, the creation, not the creator, but the creation was the object of worship. And they sacrificed human beings to the sun. They sacrificed human beings to the sun, the human beings under creation. And I mean hundreds and thousands of ritualistic sacrifices of captives that they had found in war, of slaves who were working on the things, of children, and they have the remains, children, sliced, diced, thrown, because they believed that life came from the sun and they needed to offer blood, sacrifice, to feed and appease the sun, okay? When you put the creation over the human being, people suffer. Same way, if you put people in the position of God, and there are, you know, states that have done that, communist states particularly, who wanted to put the state above in the position of God, people suffer. And even, of course, you know, on a small scale, when we get around to doing crazy things, like putting our own interests, our own desires, maybe sometimes, maybe our work stuff, maybe our financial stuff, maybe, you know, building our little tiny empires. Sometimes people suffer, children suffer, people suffer when we don't have the order right. God, human beings, then the creation. Jesus says, or God says, we are made just a little lower than the angels. We're crowned with glory and with honor. As human beings, as people made just a little lower than the angels, as Christian people made just a little lower than the angels, who recognize the order in creation and then let that order also occupy this space right here, between our ears, our craniums, our minds, the way that we look at the world, when we let this order be reflected in this order, it ought to be reflected in the way that we live, yes? It ought to be reflected there. In our society, in our homes, in our inner life. To have that order reflected there. In society, I think it means we got to be the kind of people who exercise our freedom as Americans to understand what's going on, the issues that are going on, exercise our right to vote and to mold and change and shape our society. But it also means we got to be the kinds of people who respect our laws and the conventions that we've all decided upon that we're all going to live by. If we want something changed, we ought to change it within the system. You see a lot of outside the system kind of change trying to be forced these days. So we ought to be those people who in society God's order is reflected, the order, the fact that we are made as people who are not subject to nature, but subdue nature. And by the way, that means subduing our inner nature. Right? And that's especially reflected in our homes. We want to have an orderly home. We want to have a home that reflects our ability to subdue chaos, regular routines, make sure that we're sitting around the table with our kids. Make sure that, I think this is so important, bracketing their day with you and with prayer. You and prayer together, praying together, morning and night, so that they feel that security, that you are there and that you are there with God. And that's a beautiful thing. Create those regular routines, responsibilities for our kids, and then, of course, appropriate discipline when they go outside the boundaries. But all those things give security and a sense of place and meaning to children, so that maybe when they grow up, they don't feel like they're just out at sea all alone, being buffeted by the craziness that they encounter in the world. And then, of course, that order needs to be reflected, and we say this all the time, reflected in our inner life, in a regular prayer life, in a regular devotion life that connects with Scripture on a daily basis, in our worship life, coming to church, in our worship life, in our homes, to take that time out for relaxation, to take that Sabbath, maybe to read a little bit, maybe to expand, use that imagination. Expand your learning. These are the things that help us connect with that order of the cosmos and bring it into this space in our cranium, in our minds, in the way that we actually live. To begin to reflect what it is to be people who are made just a little lower than the angels. Do you believe you're a little lower than the angels today? Do we? It's okay if you don't. It's hard to get that one, but we should work towards it. People made in the image of God, just a little lower than the angels, and maybe even begin to start to look at other people, no matter what they're, kind of sketchy, whatever, they're also made just a little lower than the angels. That's the story that the church has to tell. That's the order that the church has to offer. And of course, it's reflected in Jesus, right? Jesus, who subdued nature, who subdued Satan, who overcame death, and shows us how to be real human beings, who also know that we can subdue nature and our circumstances, who subdue our own inner nature. And through faith in Jesus Christ, also overcome death. Amen? He shows us the way. Church has that story to tell about what it is to be a human being. So if there's one person out there, or 13, or 100, who feels so alienated and insignificant, and out of power, are out of control, then this is one response that we have, that the church has, that no, in this place particularly, you are valuable. You are viewed as just a little lower than the angels. And God has ordained that you have everything that you need, everything that you need, with the power of the Holy Spirit with you and alongside you in your prayer. And just as I were telling the kids, all of that is with you today, so that you may not be subject to nature or subject to your own evil human nature or subject to just your circumstances. But no, we subdue nature and our own inner nature. We reflect that order in the cosmos that reflects God's love and honor for human beings. That reflects an order that is good and is right and is life-affirming, which we're going to talk about next week, and that we can use, that we can live by in the cosmos and all the way here in our little minds to reflect that glory of God. Amen? All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Hello, Heavenly Father, we are just so glad to be here today. And we're glad, oh God, that you have given us your word by which we can begin to discern how it is that you do love us, how you've really made us. And as difficult as it can be sometimes, Lord, we just ask, oh God, that you lead us and guide us and help us to really realize how important we are to you and how vital we are to one another, that we might lift each other up and help each other understand that we are indeed made just a little lower than the angels. We ask this in your name today. Amen.